What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue. This is the second episode of our two-part conversation with the legendary Naptown jazz vocalist Everett Green. Everett has been working in Indianapolis since the mid-1950s. During his historic career, Everett has performed with jazz legends like Wes Montgomery and Dave Baker. And in recent years, Everett has toured the world as a vocalist for the Count Basie Band. And Everett continues to add to his legacy. Earlier this year, he released a new album titled You're Gonna Hear From Me, a collection of 15 tracks recorded with pianist Steve Ali.
Midnight, you heavy laden, it's midnight. Come on and trade in your old dreams for new, your new dreams for old. I know where they're bought, I know where they're sold. Midnight, you gotta get there at midnight.
And Everett will be performing at a special concert on Saturday, October the 15th, at Indiana Landmarks. The event is titled Mood Indigo, and it features Everett Green in concert with the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir. Go to indychoir.org for more information. Everett Green will join us in a moment, but first, let's hear a track off his latest album, You're Gonna Hear From Me. This is Everett Green and Steve Ali with You Must Believe in Spring.
When lonely feelings chill the meadows of your mind, just think, if winter comes, can spring be far behind? Beneath the deepest snow, the secret of a rose is merely that it knows you must believe in spring.
That was Everett Green and Steve Ali with You Must Believe in Spring. And Everett Green is our guest this week. He recently spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's join their conversation as Everett discusses You're Gonna Hear From Me, his new album with pianist Steve Ali. The album was recorded while Everett was struggling with the effects of hearing loss.
Steve Ali called me into the, said, man, let's come on to the studio and let's check ears, see where they are, you know, see what's going on with them. So we go in and I take a lot of my music that I like to do. And some of it he didn't know. So we get into, he get in the booth and I'm outside with the headphones on and I'm hearing clearly because they got the headphones going right in. And when we finished, well, before we got finished the whole thing, we were there by a couple of hours. And the engineer played back one of the songs. Wow, I didn't know he was recording. He said, oh, man, it was so nice, I thought I'd record it. But when I took the headphones off. I said, oh, my God, is that me? That sounds like, no, not with my name on it, you know, because my ears are like shot, you know. So we had done 8 songs in about 2 hours. So they said, well, come on back. So maybe about a month later, we did the same thing. And same results. I still couldn't hear it. Well, I was getting steroid injections once a week, you know, and after a while, the cells begin to regenerate, and I could listen to it. I said, okay, it's not that bad, you know. So we sent it to a couple of record companies. They wanted to add bass and drum. But it was such a special moment, just Steve and I, man, you know. Now, we don't want to add nothing to this. You know, if you don't want to take it like it is, we just enjoy it ourselves, you know. So that's what we did for 2 or 3 years. And Steve had called me one day and said, oh, man, because I had called him and said, Steve, maybe we got to do something with this. You know, we got to make at least a couple hundred copies or something. He said, oh, man, I listened to this stuff, but this stuff is like good. Let's do something, you know. So we did. And we get a couple of disc jockeys, like, man, I've never heard a duo sound as good, you know. So, and in the record itself, if you listen closely, you'll hear, whereas we may be going the wrong direction, but the other would just fall right in. I have had no one tell me that they heard, that they recognized where we were going off, because they were covered so quick, so nicely, you know. So so that makes you feel good, too, you know. So things that I thought was so bad, the endings that I thought when I listened to them closely, I said, wait, they're not that bad at all. But I like it. I put it that way. I like it. And when I judge it, when I play that CD to some of the ones that I have recorded in the studio, I like it much better. My conclusion is this, that, okay, when you go into a studio to record, you're going to be uptight, you know. But when you just go in just to sing, you're just relaxed, you know, and whatever comes, comes.
Let's pause and listen to another track of the album You're Gonna Hear From Me. This is Everett Green and Steve Ali with Here's to Life.
I've had my share, I've drank my fill, and even though I'm satisfied, I'm hungry still to see what's on another road. Beyond a hill, and do it all again. So here's to life, and every joy it brings. Here's to life, to dreamers and their dreams.
That was Everett Green and Steve Ali with Here's to Life. And Everett Green is our guest this week. On last week's show, Everett discussed his early years performing on Indiana Avenue. In this next clip, WFYI's Kyle Long asked Everett for his thoughts on the demise of the Avenue.
You came to Indianapolis in 1955. Indiana Avenue was popping. There was so much happening there.
Yeah.
Not more than 15 years later, the area had gone into decline. IUPUI was tearing things down. What did you make of that at the time, and how do you kind of assess that now, looking back? What do you
Segregation.
Think? Okay.
We did the show we did in Chicago, and a guy asked somebody the same question. And that, you look at it and say, that's it. Because the guys could play in these areas. You couldn't go no place else to play. But everybody could come to your area to listen to you. So they wanted to come to your area to hear you. But once you got a chance to go to their own areas and play, so they stayed in their areas to still listen to you. But nobody else could go there, you know. I know a couple of guys around here, they stopped playing in the clubs because they wouldn't allow blacks in, you know. But they asked the guy the same thing in New York. I mean, Chicago. They said, what happened to the music? Segregation. Because the guys got a chance to go make more money, you know. And so they would go, shoulder to God, because they were trying to make a living, you know. A lot of those guys, all they did was music, you know. So, but that's what happened. But it's so... It's so strange, man, that things would make a change like that, you know, because there was so much music here in the city. I mean, it was I've never seen so much music. Even I think they have as much music here as they have in Chicago. And Chicago had a whole lot of music all over Chicago, you know, but it was just as much here. Because you could go all night long, man, to a different club hopping, you know. You know, Chicago got buses that they take you from club to club. You could almost walk to clubs here, you know. They were so close together, jamming, you know. So that's what I really think happened to all these club scenes, you know.
Desegregation, the Civil Rights
Desegregated, and they would be able to go and work at these different clubs and make a lot more money,
yeah.
You know. So, and that way the people weren't coming to your area to listen anymore, you know. So,
is it something you view with sadness that this is gone, or how do you kind of feel about it?
The only thing that's sad about it is that you don't have the variety that you used to have, you know. It's good to see things spread out, you know. I've been asked many times, how come you got nothing but white guys playing? I said, listen, I just hire musicians. You know, I don't care what color you are, you're red, white, or blue. You know, somebody I like to work it with, this is what I want, you know. So that's what I've always been, you know. And to see it change like that, I've been in a whole lot of segregation, you know, in my world, you know, and a lot of it, you know. So, and you learn how to deal with it. You learn how to deal with it. You know what you need to do, know where you want to go. But to be able to go somewhere freely, some folk just weren't used to that, so they would pile in, you know. I don't feel sad about it at all, you know, because it's just so good that you can feel free enough to go to almost anywhere you want to go to. Sometimes it took a while for some place to accept you. You know, you could go, but it's not that they really wanted you there. Maybe not the owners, but some people. You know, it was a club right down the street. Meridian. I almost had it with a guy, but I just kept my cool. You know, it's just when you see, they just want to pick on you, so to speak. You know, I don't know why you're here, but you know, just ignore it. Take it as okay, I'm just thinking that you're joking. And just keep on walking as long as you don't touch. But no, it wasn't a bad thing at all. It was good. It was good for the people themselves, actually. You know. To get a chance to come in and do things together.
Let's pause and listen to a track from Everett Green's 2002 album, I've Got Love. This is Everett Green with This Is All I Ask.
As I approach the prime of my life, I find I have the time of my life. Learning to enjoy at my leisure all the simple pleasures, and so I happily concede. This is all I ask. This is all I need.
Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return with more words and music from Everett Green after this short break. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. You're tuned in to the second episode of our two-part conversation with the legendary Naptown jazz vocalist Everett Green. Everett will be performing at a special concert on Saturday, October the 15th at Indiana Landmarks. The event is titled Mood Indigo, and it features Everett Green in concert with the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir. Before the break, we heard a track from Everett's 2002 album, I've Got Love. Let's listen to another track from that record. This is Everett Green with The Nature of Love, written by Everett's longtime pianist, Reverend Marvin Chandler.
When a man loves a woman, and a woman loves a man, they cling to each other and do what they can to make life worth living, receiving and giving. That's the nature of love.
That was Everett Green with The Nature of Love. That song was written by Everett's longtime pianist, Reverend Marvin Chandler. In 2020, WFYI's Kyle Long recorded an interview with Everett and Reverend Chandler. Let's listen to an excerpt from that conversation.
Before he met me, he had done so many other things. You know, he was one of the creators of the jazz, the gospel in the church, or jazz vesper services out there in San Francisco. You know, so he worked with so many musicians out there, you know, bringing jazz, showing people that it was okay to do this music, you know, because it's all God's music, you know. And when I met him, like 20-some years ago, it was just a blessing. You know, after he had retired from his ministry and come back home to roost, so to speak, you know, and it was just a coincidence that when I met him, because I was asked to sing at a church, and it was an organization that his wife was affiliated with, and I asked if they had a piano player. So he said, well, one of our members' husbands play. I said, okay, fine. If he can play, that's all I need. First four bars, I knew I was hooked. You know, I said, oh, no, we got to do something, you know. So we've been working together ever since, you know.
So, having a great time.
You know, and I'm just so pleased to have been a part, because we actually have a wonderful friendship and relationship, you know.
Yeah.
People want to know, how do you all have such a connection because of that friendship that we have, you know. Want to know how we always know where one another's going, you know. So,
Everett's an artist, though. He music is an expression of his life and his person. And as another musician, I know that. I sense it. And so we just have this connection. You don't even talk about it, but it's like we're brothers, and that's it. So
I've worked with so many, many, many great pianists. You know, I mean, some of the greatest pianists. There's none that I'd rather work with. And, you know, it's not because of the ability, just the camaraderie that we have. You know, it's just the connection that we have together. You know, I never have to worry about him doing something crazy, because he's always watching where I'm going. He's anticipating, you know, so.
Everett is, you know, it's wonderful to have a great friend, but I respect so much his achievement. He's known around the world, and he's an artist. He really is, and it kills me that we're in Indianapolis, and I think his talent just goes unrecognized. You know, I just have a great frustration over that.
It was like he touched on earlier. We have fun.
Yeah, we do.
You know, if the music, if we can't make fun of the music that we're doing, why do it? I try to explain that to some people just recently. You know, we got to have fun with this music. Mm-hmm. We can't let this music just stress us out, you know, because there's no need in having it if you're going to get stressed out doing it. You know, have fun, and you'd be surprised how high you can go, you know. There are no lulls and no mistakes.
And Everett, to elaborate on Reverend Chandler's point about you being maybe underappreciated here, you know, in the last year, you've toured the world with the Count Basie Orchestra. You played at the Hollywood Bowl. You played in Moscow. Like, yeah, tell me about the tour.
Those things don't bother me.
It doesn't bother you that you're unrecognized or underappreciated.
They don't bother me at all because nobody can take anything away from me. You know, I've worked with some of the greatest musicians in the world. So I do things that I think is going to benefit me in the long run. You know, whether I get all the accolades other people get or not, it doesn't bother me at all, you know, because I get a chance to work with so many of these people.
Let's pause and listen to another track featuring Everett Green and Reverend Marvin Chandler. This is I Know My Heart.
I know my heart. It won't remember you, at least for very long. I know my heart. It may be sad for just a little while, but it will hardly show. I knew my heart.
That was Everett Green with I Know My Heart. And Everett Green is our guest this week. Earlier this year, Everett's brother, Larry Green, passed away. Larry Green was a talented writer, and he composed one of Everett's signature songs, Looking for Someplace to Be. Larry Green had a fascinating career in show business, working with artists like Red Fox and appearing in cult classic films like Jive Turkey. Let's return to our conversation with Everett Green.
And Everett, I wanted to end the program with your recording of Someplace to Be, which was written by your brother Larry, who recently passed away.
Yeah.
You spoke about Larry earlier. You mentioned he was Red Fox's manager. Tell me about Larry and what this song means to you.
Well, you know, like I said, my brother was always adventurous. He was always looking for something new. He always looking for the music world. You know, one of the things that happened when I was in high school, you know, we sang under the steps at all the lunch periods. And so many different musicians, I mean, so many different singers would come and hang out there. And when my brother joined a group called the Heartbreakers, and they happened to come to my mom's, to my house one day to rehearse. And the guy walked and he saw me and said, "Man, where you been? We were looking for you when we started this group." So I need to say, I kind of got back in the corner. I didn't want my brother to get all upset, you know. But they had a really good group, and there's some good music. But he always wanted to do something different. When he came through here, going to California, he didn't know anybody there. He didn't know where he was going. He was just going, you know, because he wanted to do Hollywood. He was Hollywood, and he was such a prolific writer. He wrote some stories, man. In fact, he got a couple of stories that he wrote. He always did all the playwright work. How to Live on $3,333.33 a year. As I read the script, I said, "Man, this is you and Bill Murray." He said, "Yeah, you're right." You know, so but these were most of the things that you write about of your life are the best things. The song Looking for Someplace to Be, when I got it and I was walking my trail, learning the lyrics, singing it. And I mean, tears actually come because it's him. I mean, he was always looking for the next best thing, you know, always wanted to stay in the music thing, you know. But all the things that he'd had the opportunity to do, you know, it'd be in the movies, in several movies. And I just found out myself how he actually got into the movie scenes because somebody didn't show up. And he happened to be in the right place at the right time.
What movies would we see him in?
I want to say Baby Needs a New Pair of Shoes, but they wanted to name that, but then they changed it. But I still love the song, the part, Baby Needs a New Pair of Shoes. But, but he did about three movies.
Let's pause and listen to Everett Green's recording of Looking for Someplace to Be, composed by his brother, Larry Green.
I have been in every city, and I've been from shore to shore. I have looked through every window, and I've knocked on every door. Every now and then I'll wonder if I'll ever find what it is I am after. I've been everywhere looking for some place to be.
That was Everett Green with Looking for Someplace to Be. Let's return to our conversation with Everett as he discusses his upcoming performance with the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir.
Everett, before we go today, I have to ask you about your upcoming event, right? The Mood Indigo with the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir.
Yeah.
What's this event all about?
Well, you know, it's I sang with them about 10 years ago almost, and it's a wonderful choir. You know, it's Indianapolis Symphonic Choir. And last time we sang some songs together, as well as Brenda Williams and I sang some duets, and they were individual songs. So for them to start doing it again, they hadn't done it for a while, so they invited me to come in and sing with them again for the program. So I'm looking forward to doing it again with them. Gary Walters, you know, and Fred, bass player, you know, and I think Sam, his brother. But it's something that people will definitely enjoy. These people have been everywhere singing. You know, they got a big group, but they also cut it down to smaller groups at times. You know, I think this is maybe the 35-member group is going to be doing this Mood Indigo, you know. So, but it should be something that's going to be really, really nice, you know. I'm just happy that they invited me, you know, thinking, okay, yeah, you can still do what you do.
Well, we've been here a while, Everett, I know.
Man, listen, you know, we did the same thing last time. I talked for 2 hours.
Well, thank you for being here. Is there any final thoughts you wanted to share with
me? No, you know, like, I'm just glad to see you doing what you do, man. I listen to what you guys are doing. And look at all the history that you're bringing back, you know, to us, to a lot of people who hadn't known, and just refreshing some of the stuff that we've seen and just bringing something brand new in as well, you know, because some of the stuff you're already, I didn't know about, you know. So, but yeah, it was just, I'm glad to see you guys still doing this, man. It just don't ever stop.
We've got time for one more song. From his latest album, You're Gonna Hear From Me, this is Everett Green and Steve Ali with Daydream.
Funny the way that I feel now. Can't keep my feet on the ground. Everything seems unreal now when you're not around. Daydream, why do you haunt me so? In a rosy glow.
That's all the time we have for this week. Thanks for tuning in for this special two-part episode featuring the music of Everett Green. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. And you can find The Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do, do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do.